For this purpose, the Son of Man was made manifest. For this purpose, the Son of Man was revealed. He was concealed, but for this purpose. He was kept in hiding, but for this purpose. He had to be made manifest. It is God's way of doing things. God has an approach to life. When you existed in his chambers as a seed of eternity, he ordained a purpose for that spirit that stood before him. He created a mortal body and put that spirit that was on errand with purpose inside that mortal facility, so that you travel on this side of heaven as a pilgrim with purpose locked upon your heart. And it is expected that you will dispense this purpose. Your life will be summed up in that purpose. There is no way you can be dissociated from that purpose. Jesus said, for this purpose came I into the world. I had so much business to do in heaven. My table was full, but for this purpose I had to come into the world. Cause our hearts not to avoid that for which we came. Hallelujah. Yesterday we were on campus preaching, calling people to give their life to Christ. And a few guys felt they were doing God a favor. That if they give their life to Christ, they'll be doing God such a great favor. Meanwhile, the fire some of us carry today, a measure of it met us on campus, because there was a purpose for which we came to the campus. And if you don't apprehend that purpose, you'll be doing so many things. You have so much ability. But Jesus said, this is why I am here. This is my moment. Let me seize it. Alright? If Jesus, actually even till that point, Jesus had the opportunity of escaping that death. There was a time that Pilate was becoming emotional, trying to reason with him. Then Jesus would make a statement that would compromise that emotion. Because for this purpose. Go and read the discourse very well. The proceedings in Pilate's court. You will find out that any time Pilate wanted to, don't you know that I have the power to spare you? The power to, for this purpose. Hallelujah. May the Lord help us to hold firmly upon our hearts the immortal writings of God that give perspective and definition and essence to our existence upon the face of the earth, in the name of Jesus Christ. We are still going to pray one more time. You know, there was a conference.
Amen. There was a conference. Can we have volume here?
Reinhard Bonnke finished ministry. And an old man, was he old? He wasn't necessarily old. A man approached him. A black man. I think it was a Kenya that he ministered. And the man now revealed that he was actually the one that was supposed to carry the mandate that was upon Bonnke. Now, for whatsoever reason that man was still alive without that mandate, it is because his heart skipped and did not hold tenaciously the reason for which he was given the privilege of this pilgrimage through mortal life. We were sent here on errand. Your heart is to be locked on that potent, immortal deposit of the handwriting of God that gives perspective and definition to your existence. And when people miss out on that, and maybe you come into the presence of a man that is keeping faith with his own purpose, and his iron begins to sharpen you. It reveals your deficiency, and suddenly you realize you have been running in the direction that is not in keeping with purpose. Jesus said, "For this purpose came I into the world. For this purpose, the Son of Man was made manifest." Now, that manifest there means revealed. That means up until this time, there was no need for him to be revealed. But in keeping with the fact that the works of darkness need to be overturned, there was no need for him to be concealed anymore. And for that purpose, he was made manifest. Baba will help us in the name of Jesus. We want to pray finally. Let it lock upon your heart. The eternal purposes of God are locked upon the heart of mortal men that find alignment with God. And when that locking takes place, you become an extension of God's facility, infrastructure upon the face of the earth. Your life has a meaning beyond your birth, meaning beyond the name your parents gave you, meaning beyond every mundane and every temporality. Your life now has essence in the realm where things don't die. Your operation is an exhibition of the will of an immortal personality that sits in the heavens. Your life has meaning beyond what your lecturers tell you. Your life has meaning beyond what your father may tell you. When you find yourself locked on to this immortal handwriting that fills your soul, keeps your soul in perspective, and points to the fact that even though it is as if in the natural, I am being persecuted, I'm suffering, but you see, it happens to be that it is for this purpose that I came into the world. Father, help us not to miss out on this privilege of being partakers of this great immortal call that you have given unto the church to represent Christ upon the face of the earth, to continue his ministry upon the face of the earth. He did not have so much time to do everything he wanted to do upon the face of the earth, and he committed to us what was left. May we not be found doing anything that is contrary to this purpose. For this purpose, the Son of Man was made man. Kona alabonda shaka mahale kone. Zialonte malabrakanto sika pata mara kabalan shakama. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, for those of you that went through campus, you went through campus. If you didn't catch what God wanted you to catch on campus, you are actually going to be defective after campus. If you didn't catch that flame, you'll be defective. It will take a lot for you to align, for you to catch up. Because the Bible says it is good. That means God is advising. It may not be the case in your life, but nevertheless, it is good that a man bear his yoke. Why? It's an advice. Because there is something that is a constant. Bearing your yoke is a constant. But it's advising. It is rather good that you bear that yoke while you are young. Meanwhile, it means that the yoke bearing must take place. Even as an old man, you will still bear the yoke, but it is good that you bear it while you are young. If you were never in night vigil on campus to become comfortable praying for 5 hours in tongues, not we in understanding tongues, a time may come, it might be a situation that will make you pray like that, but it is good that a man bear his yoke. Baba will help us in Jesus' name. Once again, you want to welcome your neighbor to 2016. We want to begin this year with a spiritual ceremony. As we advance in an orchestrated procession, commanding the two lift gates to be open, that we may gain access into that for which we are apprehended in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me read a scripture to us as a welcome scripture. It contains the protocol that we will be subscribing to today. You are welcome to 2016 in Jesus' name. Isaiah chapter 26 from verse 1. The protocol for the year or for this service has its bearing in that scripture. Amen. Isaiah 26 verse 1 verse 2. Amen. In that day, where is my friend Caleb? Alright, now please come. Take your belongings. Leave that place. Hallelujah. I brought the velvet man in himself. This is a man with a velvet voice. I brought him. Come, no, come, come. Go to that corner. Go to that corner. You have labors to do for the Lord tonight. Labors for the Lord. That's the velvet man. If it is possible, improvise and let him have a microphone close to his vocal cord. He does wonders with such. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. For your information, this is the day for which we were born. This day. We didn't know it will come in our lifetime, but here we are. And so we need to conduct a spiritual ceremony. I was waiting for him to show up first before we start the procession. Something will happen today. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Something will happen today. Please make him welcome. Please make him welcome. Hallelujah. Amen. You're welcome, sir. Welcome, man. We are still on ground floor before we take off and forget the protocol. While we are still on ground floor, we can accommodate the protocol. Sometime last year, I guess by the workings of the Lord, strange workings, we started a branch of the ministry in Lagos sometime last year. We tested the ground. Hallelujah. And we have a lot of labors to commit to the city of Lagos. Hallelujah. And I want to formally introduce to us the strong men of Lagos that will be carrying on our flag in that land, bringing the perspective of the kingdom of God, emphasizing the present revelation position of the Spirit. I bring you Pastor Austin Opore. He is our Lagos point man. Now, amen. Now, one of these days, make our time to come see what's going on in Lagos. It's a flame. It's a flame of fire. Hallelujah. He's ably assisted by Pastor Victor Aipo. And in their company is our barrister. You know, if you don't know the law in Lagos, there are many laws. In fact, there's an evolution of laws in Lagos right now. So you need counsel from. So they came in the company of our barrister Bumi
Why is she?
All right. That's good. You get to meet them much more, probably during the course of the conference. Amen. But there is a radical flame that must burn in the city of Lagos. And we have begun a campaign, a great campaign. Lagos must pray. Every other thing happens in Lagos. In fact, in the church in Lagos, after Sunday service, they lock the doors. The security personnel, doors are locked. There's no place for a believer to say he wants to come and do prayer. That has been meticulously avoided in the measured version of Christianity that Lagos upholds. It's a Christianity of an iPad and a bow tie. It's a clinical kind of Christianity that is very, very tempered, cultured and measured. Doesn't have an accommodation for fire. And we are laboring to change the texture in the name of Jesus. Amen. So that's an update. In the month of April, we are going to be in Kaduna to lift our flag in the city of Kaduna. Reverend Yahemba Tena is our appointment for Kaduna. We secured a sizable accommodation from whence we proclaimed, "Thus saith the Lord," to the city of Kaduna, where we beheld and we have fully articulated the emphasis of God for this season, as it has to do with extending the oasis of the community, apostolic community of believers, from city to city. So that people that have been held up in charismatic zoos, in organized religion, and manifestations ranging from scandalous to spurious activities, might find an outlet, a ventilation, and a breath of fresh air. Hallelujah. This is a campaign that we are taking to the nation Nigeria and the cities within her. There is a voice that seeks to find expression. It is the voice of the Lord in the hearts of people that have waited for Him and have shared His burden all these years in the midst of the diversion that took place from His emphasis in the body of Christ for the past 20 years. There has been a change of guard in the heavens of God, and God is making proclamations to His prophets that are accurate about the strategy for the deliverance of cities, of states, of lands and territories. There is a new order of priesthood that God is bringing upon the scene. And we have a little quota in the entire organogram of a plan of God's kingdom. And that's the little quota we are trying to make available through the conduit of the ministry. So we'll be in Kaduna in the month of April. We turn out to raise the ASEAN banner in that city. Hallelujah. Further information about other cities that will be inaugurating the campaign will come to us as God helps us in Jesus' name. Amen. Meanwhile, as we progress during the course of the year, there will be need for us to reach out beyond this little hall. It's a classroom. I've been hiding in the classroom for a long time, eating bread and water so that our discernment can be trained. Now we will go and we will orchestrate an invasion of the city of Makurdi. Makurdi must feel the heat of the coming Lord. And we will pave the way for His appearance. And it happens to be that when He comes, He doesn't come alone. He comes with an entourage. Hence, He is called the Lord of Hosts. We make way for the Lord of Hosts in the city of Makurdi and in Benue State. In Jesus' mighty name. In the book of Isaiah chapter 26. Yes, I can't hear you. Amen. Now, the velvet man will come shortly. Hallelujah. In Isaiah chapter 26, the Bible says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for her walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, and the righteous, that righteous, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Now, you see, in Israel, Israel could not function spiritually without the prophet. Part and parcel of the sociology of the Israeli people is the operation and the directive and the insight of the prophetic office. In fact, they are so prophetic and are so inclined to prophetic pointers, directives, and activity in so much that there are several prophetic actions that are made into songs for easy assimilation and easy implementation. Some prophetic activities are converted into songs so that as you are humming the melody, you like what you are doing. Meanwhile, over and above the melody, you are actually in conformity with a prophetic prescription for a particular season. The Bible says, in that day shall a song be sung. But that's ancient English, so we'll change it. A song shall be sung in Israel. Now, there are many operations of the prophetic. Many operations. In fact, if you check the prophets of the Bible, you will find out the area of emphasis as touching their prophetic anointing. For instance, Joseph was a prophetic administrator. He had the capacity to peep into the archives of God and to see future trends. It can be future economic trends, future political trends, future trends. And from the standpoint of future trends, he also has access to the spiritual and the gift of the word of wisdom. In light of the revelation he has captured concerning future trends, he can tell you what to begin to do today in light of that revelation that will be most strategic in taking advantage of the potential that is captured within that disclosure. The administrative prophet. Hallelujah. People like Jonah were prophets of declaration. There are many things that God cannot do on earth except he raises a man to speak. Hallelujah. Now, you see, the church, the body of Christ, is not used to the prophetic office. Meanwhile, what we have been exposed to is a false manifestation and an attempt to demean the crown office of the prophet in our land and in our nation. We have rabble-rousers and all kinds of strange people burning strange flames in the name of the prophet. But it is a holy office held up with so much spiritual gravity to give a people of God the needed strategy that is required for them to apprehend the purposes of God as they appear in their seasons. In the book of Isaiah chapter 26, where I just read, it is actually a call to a declaration. Are you with me? This is connected to the operation of the prophetic as it has to do with declaration. Are you with me? You are not with me. Now listen. There were some prayer points in the scripture that were actually informed by an understanding of season. Prayer points. The prayer points shifted because the season shifted. For instance, the Bible says, "And thou shall arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her." Yes! The set time is come. That prayer point was not and will not be necessary if the time doesn't come for you. Are you with me? There are several activities that should kick into action when we have fully articulated a particular season from whence God has decided to unleash a particular kind of grace that will make some things that were hitherto impossible possible. A prophet needs to come in between that season and the people. He must be able to articulate that season, apprehend that season, and then make proclamations. The proclamations has two purposes. First of all, the proclamation is supposed to open the window for the manifestation of the power of that season through the grace of God that he has made available to accomplish his purpose that is locked in that time. Secondly, the proclamation is supposed to alert the people of God as to what to expect in the light of what has been proclaimed in the realm of God. God does not have respect and regard for time. And what we have in the realm of God are prophetic seasons according to his purposes and according to his wills. And that's why the prophet must be able to articulate the season so that a proclamation can be made to create events, a possibility for that which God intends to begin to find fulfillment. Now, in the book of Isaiah chapter 26, verse 2, because, you know, the scripture started with "in that day." We'll bring a sacrifice. We'll bring a song. We'll bring a prayer. We'll bring praise. Indeed, we are clothed with a garment. A garment of praise. That we appearing before you today might be praise to your name. For your great works of and mighty acts and feats of deliverance. You heal our diseases. You beautify us with your favor. And so we return to you the worship that is due your name, acknowledging your majesty and your greatness among all nations. Be glorified. Be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. I felt like we had to do that. We had to raise an altar quickly in acknowledgement of his majesty and his power. I don't know about you, I was on my way to a lorry, and it's as if the guy that was driving us was drunk, not just with weed, but with steel. And he drove. And he drove. And his way on the wheel was such that I had to call upon the name of my God. And he was not far off anyway. When I called him, he responded. I said, "No, this is not the day that you'll be gathered unto your father." So the driver did not need counseling. I knew I was headed to my destination. I knew that even if we have an accident, which we escaped 9 in transit, I knew I would come out without spot or wrinkle. had nine near accident cases in transit. Then when you get to your destination, don't be quick to fuse into the city. Raise an altar there. Raise something. Let an oblation go to heaven. An oblation that is choked with bright and brilliant spices. Spices of memories of his intervention with a fragrance of frankincense. Let it ascend. Hallelujah. We acknowledge him. None better, none wiser, none more beautiful. We acknowledge him. Hallelujah. Now, so let's get back to the scripture. Upon the articulation of the season, there was supposed to be a response. The response was a proclamation. As you see in the book of Isaiah chapter 26 verse 2, the Bible says, open ye. My elder sister is here. I have to punctuate and acknowledge. Hallelujah. Oh my uncle Malika, it is well. A woman of fire. Hallelujah. We need women of fire right now to turn the tide. We need to hear the voice of the lioness coming from the sides of Egypt, so that the enemies of the king will lick the dust. I salute you in the name of Jesus. Now, he said, open the gates, that the righteous, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Now, this looks like, because the guys in charge of the gates are actually the immigration people, the authorities. They determine who gains access to the territory. And unfortunately, other nations entered, but it was only the righteous nation that keeps the truth, that is up to date with truth, that were left out. And they thought it was an omission. So they were waiting. Maybe they will realize some people are waiting. And unfortunately, such realization did not come. Then the prophets had to teach the people a song. See, they formulated a decree into a song so that even the least among their numbers could memorize it and maybe for the purpose of his melody sing it. But what it was a declaration, a proclamation, like a decree coming from a judge to enforce the law. Hallelujah. Now, I said Israel was such a prophetic nation. And so they knew when to sing, when to shout, when to draw out a shout that touches the depth of the bed, when to shout back. But there must be a man of understanding in their midst. Now to tell them when the lifting of their hands will translate, will become equivalent to the evening sacrifice, will tell them when it is time to shout, so that the impregnable walls of Jericho can fall, so that he could tell them when it is time to make a proclamation, so that the immigration officers that have refused, denied access to the righteous nation, might receive another directive. So the proclamation was improvised in the form of a song. And meanwhile, this song is not relevant every day. It is relevant which day? You are not with me. In that day, there is a day that if you sing this song the next day, you might. No, if it's just error, then there's no problem, there's no harm to you. You might be arrested. There may be implications. Oh my. He said, open ye the gate. How I wish we had the time signature and the clefs
already written out in scripture so that we could sing the song. But the reason why it's not there is because it's not important. It's the utterance that is the matter. Open ye what? The gate. Now, there is a time that a nation, a righteous nation, we have to make this proclamation. Now, have you read your Bible? Scripture says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That is to say that there are several circumstances in which a righteous man is incapacitated. One of such cases is when the gates are shut to him. Now, don't get me wrong. Even the gates of nations were shut to Jesus the Lord. And that is the reason for the discourse in the book of Psalms 24. In Psalms 24, we see lands and survey. It starts with lands and survey. Ministry of lands and survey. Land registry. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and death, that's land registry. That's the archives, records. The world and them that dwell therein. You know, in United States, if you have oil in your father's land, the oil belongs to the family. In Nigeria, if you have oil in your backyard, belongs to Nigeria. But for the records, just in case the law in your country has made you maligned, he said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness that everything it contains. The world and what? There, even the people that dwell on top. They belong. That's just for the record. That one was brought out of the archives. So that's baseline knowledge. In order for you to do this job, your understanding should start from here. Then, when that was established, he now asks a question: who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? It's now a who question. And I was thinking, because it's a who question, we'll now have Evangelist Chris will be mentioned. Reverend Hills will be mentioned because it's who. And no name was mentioned, unfortunately. He said, he that has clean hands and a pure heart and has not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitful, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Shall receive a blessing, the deposit of God's grace and authority and mandate, and he will now have right standing with the God of his salvation because there's land dispute. Right? Now, so the gate we are talking about in Psalms 24 is not the gate of heaven. Because I heard a preacher, a very good preacher, preach well, a theologian. That's the gate of heaven. And he read the scripture outside of context. The Bible said the earth is what? So the gate we are talking about is the gate to the nations, the gate to the peoples, the gate to tribes. And in scripture, when we talk about gates, we are referring to authorities or governments. When we talk about windows, we are referring to blessings. And when we talk about doors, we are referring to opportunities. So it came to pass that these people that were cultured by God were sent forth to solve a land dispute. They were the ones that came to the authorities guarding the nations and say, lift up your heads. Now, there is nothing you can do other than that proclamation in such a circumstance as a righteous man. Yeah, or you can decide to camp around and say, the Lord goes out. But God is with us. You are speaking in tongues and the gates are locked. And in that case, the righteous man is incapacitated. But the prophet has a wisdom about that circumstance. And he said, now it's time to decree not to keep quiet and speak in tongues. It's time to make a proclamation. And Israel was so educated in that matter that they even made the proclamation a song. That all of Israel, it should be taught in the curriculum of primary school. And in preparation for that day. Open the gates that the righteous nation that what which keepeth the truth may enter. Are you
realized that on the 3rd of February, Benue State will be 40 years old. And anything that was in the foundation of the state in 1976, where it was established, is what has brought us here to this point. And when you see the confusion, when you see the epilepsy of the church, when you see what governance has been in the past few years under political dispensations, it will give you an insight into the ingredients that were factored into the foundation of the civilization in 1976. And the immigration of that system have effectively blotted out the righteous nation. Meanwhile, we are doing something else. We are enjoying anything, but there's a protocol, a designated protocol that must be initiated at such point. He said they should teach that song in the curriculum of children as against that day. And if you are a scholar of the scriptures, you must have seen that 40 is the number for generation. So one generation till this day. Now we need to open the gate for another generation to enter. See, the fact that the nation is righteous is not enough reason for the gate to open. In fact, the fact that they are up to date with righteousness, they keep truth. Truth is kept before their face and they walk in it consciously. They have bound their soul to walking in truth. It was not enough to secure the opening. The immigration officers were authorities in themselves that could determine who could enter and who could stay out. And it happened to be that unfortunately, other nations may have entered, but only the righteous ones were kept out. A proclamation must be made, and a new prophet must teach us the song of this time. The song that must be sung for all people to secure access to the grace of God made available in this new season in God's agenda. A generation must take their place. Hallelujah. I'm introducing to you the nature of spiritual ceremonies that will be conducted in order to secure the entrance of everyone that have been locked out. There are bounties that have been fashioned in the city. In fact, the name, the walls of the city has a name in God. Salvation. And that was the destined location for peace for all righteous men. But yet, the righteous nation was the only nation that was locked up. And a decree had to come. And the prophet had to receive that decree in his spirit. Before he made proclamation, he said this will not be a singular prophetic utterance. It will be a national utterance. So it was made user-friendly in form of a song so that everybody can chant it. Open the gates that the righteous nation that keepeth truth may enter. There is an entry that must be achieved so that we can stand in that which God has made available. We have navigated the wilderness for too long. The time has come for the scepter of princes to be raised again and for incense, the smoke of incense, to be seen burning from the temple. The time has come for the prophetic destiny for which God ordained that a state will be called Benue will begin to kick and come to pass. A new set of functionaries need to come upon the scene. I'm talking about a new breed without greed. Not people going to mobilize in government house in the neighborhood. And they sell the entire land and the people. The day of such people are past. And the gates must open for a radical generation. A radical generation. A generation that believes that we can still win with the tool of righteousness. We can win by righteousness. That generation is culture. Their soul has been brought into obedience to the recreated human spirit. I'm talking about people that are bridled by God. That nation. You know, they are not popular kind of people when a man takes on that status as his most natural state of existence. He's not going to be a popular fella. But we are saying that Nigeria cannot prosper in the hand of a technocrat. Our burdens and woes are spiritual. We need the prophet to take his place. We need everyone to take their place. And there must be a coronation, an introduction of a generation that will deliver upon the demands of God. And he said, open the gates. I will not die outside of the gate. There were many people that died in the wilderness. Their tomb sites were never seen. They died in transit. Where they died was not the destination that they were headed when they left where they left. Many more died at the borderline of the city. In fact, Kadesh Barnea was the place where princes were slain. People like Moses, high-ranking men. The season excluded them from his economy. And we pray that from among us, men will rise that will represent the interests of the heavens of God. Men that God can invest the secrets that he had ordained for the salvation of our land. Hallelujah. I welcome you to 2016. We will read the synopsis of the visions we captured while praying for God's hand and God's purpose for this year. And people that are gifted with the ability to teach will provide perspective and context to those matters. A little will drink that wine so that the prophetic dimensions will come with the understanding that the teaching ministry provides. That the truth will not only be in your spirit, it will also be in your head. That's what it means to be filled with the word of God. Your head too has a portion to catch up. Have you ever been to a place before and somebody is prophesying and the prophecy is in tongues? Mianto ilakunaba. Our understanding is unfruitful. What we need is an utterance and with the attendant muscle to give it structure so that the word can be made flesh. The Lord give you understanding. Now, my young friend will take us further. God bless you. You are welcome in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Oh, blessed is he who comes. blessed, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed, blessed.
Blessed is He, do your will. Coming to do your work. That will get swallowed in the work. That it will be Him. Him that sent us. That will go forth. Oh, we give a praise. We give a glory. We give a glory. We give a glory. Blessed is He that comes. Blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord. But all the genuine ministers of the gospel in Benue State in Nigeria that come in the name of the Lord, may they be blessed tonight in the name of Jesus. Blessed is He, blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. The Bible says that it shall come to pass in the last days. Some will say, go to the wilderness. Jesus is there. It means there is somebody that has taken on His name, but not for His purpose. Taken on His name, but not for His agenda. An impostor that knew that he can draw followership just if he can as much as take the name and claim to come from God. That is not a man that is to be blessed. But the one indeed that comes from the Lord, blessed is he. Just like Jesus came from the Lord, blessed be His name. So let it be that everyone that comes genuinely to do His will, to do His agenda, let every such also be blessed. In the name of Jesus. You may be seated. God bless you. I know a lot of us had to do a lot of kilometers on the way to come. We give God glory for Johnny Mercies. We want to read the scripture to us quickly. We just carry out a function and we go straight to business. Just a scripture. We're going to do Luke chapter 2 quickly. Let's carry out a function. In the name of the Lord, blessed is he that cometh. In the name of the Lord. When we are true with what we want to do, which is to dedicate a child unto the Lord, because when a season actually opens, there are various indicators that God makes available for wise people who know how to read the parameters to actually tell the story that God is telling in heaven. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Listen. You know, we were in our prayer meeting in Lagos. There was an insight that dropped in my spirit. Okay. You know, I've always seen that phrase in the Bible, living epistles, living epistles. Paul says, we are living epistles. I was wondering what it meant. Then I realized that our life in the Spirit, as we live in the Spirit, is actually the expression of a story that God is telling to a generation. You are a living story, a living theater that is manifesting a story that God is telling in the heavens. Because we saw in scripture that at the end of David's life, that the story that God told through his life was the marriage or the relationship between worship and warfare. Israel prospered most in worship, in warfare, when worship was highest. And it took the sweet psalmist of Israel to bring that story to the earth. There is no way you can war effectively
if you cannot worship effectively. In the book of Psalms 150, I guess, it says, let the high praises of God be upon their lips and the two-edged sword in their hands, to bind their nobles with chains and with king, their kings with what? With fetters of iron. And he added, dishonor has all his saints. He took the lifetime of a man to tell that story. That all of God's people, we prosper in warfare when they prosper most in worship. That was the tale God told to the life of David. There was a tale that God told through the life of Paul the apostle. And that tale was very clear that God was not a racist and he was not the author of religion. Because up until the manifestation of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of God was tied to the Jews. And it was when Jesus manifested that the provision that the Jews had in God was now made available through the Spirit, through all nations. But you see, even after Christ had come, Christianity was corrupted by Judaism. You could see that in the first few chapters of the book of Acts of the Apostles. Then suddenly a man rose. And the feat that that man delivered to the world was such that even the devil did not know that that could happen in one generation. The significance of the ministry of Paul was that he showed the difference between Judaism and Christianity. It showed that God was not religious, that the covenant that God had with Abraham was spiritual, and only men that have access to the spirit of that covenant walk in the reality of that covenant today. And you need to understand, if it's thief, God came to thief, made a covenant with thief people, and the thief guys are saying, we are the ones that have the covenant. Then a thief man now rises and say, you are in deceit. That the covenant that God made with the fathers, he made it by the instrumentality of his spirit. And only them that are recipients of that spirit are true heirs to that covenant. Is that not something you can be killed for? But that was his ministry. He told a story that God was not a racist and God was not religious. Any practice you can do without the help of the Holy Spirit is not part of the covenant we are talking about. In fact, you move into the old covenant instantly when you begin to do works without the help of the Holy Ghost. You are in another economy entirely. And the Lord bless you as you journey. And there were many things we did like that. In name of holiness, in the name of prosperity, in the name of deliverance. We were in another covenant, navigating. And Paul has to come and say, this is religion. This is not what God gave through Christ Jesus. That which is gave to Christ Jesus is locked in the Spirit. And only men that understand the way of that Spirit are accessing higher dimensions of the reality of that covenant. It was a tale that God told through the life of Paul. May the story that God is telling through your life be clear enough for men to read. For no one else can preach your sermon, and no one else can sing your song. Hallelujah. Now, there is a sign God showed us many years ago. And many times when God is perfecting a purpose in the earth, then sons of old men are born. Their manifestation is actually not about themselves, it's about the season that is represented along the sign lines of their birth. Most often, sons of women, their names are even gotten before their conception. They are indicators pointing to economies in God that have found expression among men. I don't want to press on that. We've said something like this before. But over and above what we said before, there is a significance to this child we are dedicating today. His name was gotten long before he was conceived. We never knew that God would allow his birth to coincide with a significant season affecting this land, this territory. What is a signboard for? A signboard points to something else other than itself. Whereas a carnal man will always point to himself, but a signboard points So a son of omen is a signboard, a sign pointing to something. That there is a see, there's a more deeper, there's a deeper significance that is attached to my birth. My birth is pointing to a reality, something that God wants to do among the people. It could be a political thing, it could be a spiritual thing, it could be an economic shift. We have them all across scripture. And if you need a reference for that, I can recommend Isaiah chapter 8 will be a good place to start. And his name shall be called Jesus, the Bible says, because. So there's a significance to his birth. That significance should be tied to his name. So that every time his name is called, people that have understanding should know that we're in a new season. There is a different set of priesthood that must find expression. Hallelujah. Let me stop there. Where is the man and woman responsible for that young man? It's a solemn moment. Now, as they make ready, I will digress. Hallelujah. And I think my digression will lead us to first somewhere, if I'm not mistaken. But I think I am. Alright. Now, if you are with me, let me explain the reason why I made all these statements. I hope you know that Eli's priesthood lasted for 40 years. Eli's priesthood lasted for 40 years. He was the priest that became dean in service. He was still in service when dimness invaded. And the dimness was linked to a candle light that was supposed to be burning in the temple that went out. His eyes became dim as around the same time that the candle light that was supposed to be lit in the house of God, indicating God's ever-present presence. When that candle went out, Eli's eyes became dim. And then a facility that God normally engages in bringing his civilization that is born in the heavens upon the face of the earth, which is the facility of open visions. He said, because of the protocol, because of the nature of priesthood in the territory, God even lost the ability to bring open visions. And then the word of God was cast. So there was a man whose eyes had gone dim here, and open visions in the entire landscape was no longer popular. Council of God was dim. And God was about to be shut out from the city that has its relevance because of his own name. The reason why Israel is relevant is because of the name of Yahweh. And now he was to be shut out of that entire civilization. The door, the angle that was left was only gave God the ability to call out to a young man. And God could not even use his own voice. God had to use the voice of the man's master. Because if he there's no other voice the man knows except the voice of his master. So God had to disguise within the narrow window he had left to communicate and to do business and to interact. And he cried, Samuel. Samuel. Thank God the young man answered. But not without the help of the old man anyway. The old man had to give him some. Because the old man knew something the young man did not know. The old man knew the voice of the Lord. But the Lord had refused to speak to the old man that knew his voice. So discipleship had to take place in the night. Have you heard of night discipleship? To upgrade the young man. you know, before it took honesty for that man to conduct that discipleship. Because if that guy was not educated, Baba's attempts would be wasted. God. And the man knew that if I'm here and Baba has need of this young man, there's a challenge with my priesthood. Maybe that's why he lingered first, second time. He was considering the challenge with his priesthood. Then he now said, well, if you hear the voice again, respond like this. The team might go on.
But you see, unfortunately, what was happening was a change of guard. The first priests were being set aside so that a new level of priesthood can stand, can find expression. Even though prophets have been since Samuel, before Samuel showed up. Huh? Hallelujah. Are you with me? But this one brought the prophetic to a point where spiritual understanding became part of his priesthood. That's a man that can tell you the sacrifice to sacrifice in dry season to bring rain. Now this is the generation of the Samuel priesthood. Now the reason for all this Bible study is because you follow. It's not you. You are not the center of this matter. Today is somebody else. Hallelujah. How was it? Was it okay? I think it was in that my old house. We were in prayers, and God was gracious that day, and that is when He spoke about Samuel. In fact, the way He spoke about Samuel, we thought Samuel would have been, would have come. He spoke about Samuel. And unfortunately, when they say a girl, cry. But you see, we mortals, we make references from time and space, and that is a facility that is not in eternity. The boy came as a sign that there is a change of priesthood in this hour. I have good news for you. Open visions will be restored again. Open visions will come back again. You know, the prophetic office is the most bastardized. We have native doctors that were operating in the villages have suddenly put on the cloak, and they are seeing visions of divination, prophesying that are soothsayers. The hearts of many people that have yielded to them have been bound in slavery to the spirit by which they spoke. My friends, open visions will come again. I hope you know the only strategic thing that Yar'Adua did before he died was amnesty program to the military. It was a prophet that gave him that recommendation. Buhari will still consult the church. Don't worry. He will tell about open visions. It will come back. And they told Yar'Adua, if you go this way, that's when you will die. And if you die, your death will be determined in February. And you know what? It came to pass. That one is not that God spoke in the ear. Open visions. The new kind of priesthood is to be born, where men, mortal men, will fear God again. Because people that God has sent will come with graphic insight. As to how nations should be ruled, as to how states should be ruled, as to how the potential and mystery can be realized. Restore the prophet. Restore the prophet. Restore that office. Restore that office. Today, if you call me the name of the Lord, people will say you are a fraudster. Because before you showed up, charlatans came before you came. When I went to Malawi to preach, I discovered I was not the first to arrive there. Our brother showed up. And they robbed poor people of Kwacha. Do you know their money is called the Malawian Kwacha? Reverend Gideon went to Zambia because Zambia too uses Kwacha and put his ATM, his MasterCard in the ATM machine, and then checked the balance. In Kwacha, what he had was almost in billions. May the Lord give you understanding.
our brothers came and stole Kwacha from the poor people. When God began to move in that meeting and he spread abroad, he went to Tanzania and Zambia. People trek from Zambia for 2.5 days to come for the meeting. And they bore their sick in wheelbarrow. Is that a man that, no, even they don't even have money for health care. They came because they heard of a God that could heal the sick, that could make the cripples walk. Our brothers went, and instead of healing the sick, they went for Kwacha. The prophets will rise again. Listen to me, Ghana is known as a nation of prophets, but in the mountains of Kumasi, there is the dwelling place of a sorcerer called Nana. Nana acknowledged, Nana said boldly that I made 1,700 pastors prophets. And right now in the city of Ghana, Nana boasted and said, any pastor that can challenge him in a show of power, he will be glad to oblige. You know why nobody came out? In fact, one came out ahead. And then when the appointment was set, he now changed his mind. Said, there's an appointment. He changed it. Oh my God. My brothers, prophets we see again. They see us. We come again. All point visions will be restored. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. The change of God. Not in my time. Hey! A man stands and he boasts against God and he survives. No man can fight God and prosper. Open visions. They come back again. That is the manifestation that makes a carnal man revere God most quickly. I even realize that if you are prophetic and you are known, the Muslims from Arab, they will send for you. They believe in prophets. The way to be an evangelist in the Middle East is be a prophet. Make a proclamation, let it come to pass. Came on board, he came to NTA and said, the witches say they want to hold a conference in Benin. If God is in heaven and I'm on earth, then that meeting is cancelled on earth. And the meeting did not hold. People gave that, they began to look for Jesus. That was a fetish land, a land of sorcery and witchcraft. Then a man challenged Ogboni and he didn't die. No, it was a message. The culture was challenged. The belief system was challenged. The evolution was challenged. Because a man with open vision, he had come. May God give you the ability to challenge things. To challenge things. In the name of Jesus. Nana challenged all the preachers in Ghana. You saw it. 1,000, he said, I made 1,700 prophets washes their eye in Kumasi. It was not a prophetic explosion that is responsible for what you see in Ghana. It was the rise of Nana. And let's not confuse it. The rise of what? Of Nana. Every Ghanaian will want to tell you he has word of knowledge. Washing their eyes in the mountains of Kumasi. You have that. And the church has been polluted. But you know what? Open visions. You come back again. A preacher should be better than a sermon. And God will help us in the name of Jesus. So the rise of this young man, his birth, is a sign that there's a change of priesthood. And as we bless him, we receive grace to step into that season that God has made available.